Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday, between 10 to 11, actually between 11 to 12. You see, I'm still getting used to this change in time. So it's between 11 to 12, where we discuss education, we discuss anything that will help us actually to be the people we want to be in the world we want to live in. So how do we influence ourselves, our families, our communities, and what is out there for us to learn, grow, and achieve? And today I'm going to take a different approach, because on this show, as optimistic as I try to be on this show, and I consider myself semi-successful in that regard, there is always one complaint that keeps on coming again and again and again. And that is about the schooling system. And when we talk about the schooling system, the famous question, how could it be that was relevant 200 years ago is still relevant today, and there's no changes and there's no nothing and everything's the same, and what do we need to adopt and change and do different? So today, we're going to speak to the people who did change and did do it different and are coming in with a new approach and taking their years of experience into a more fitted reality for 2026. And for that discussion, I think because there's so much to talk about, I'm not going to even do that much of an introduction. Let's just go dive straight in and meet the people behind this. So just for the context, the people we're going to speak today are the people that were leading and managing and running Hirsch Lines for many years, and other people who've joined lately to this new program called TELC. TELC is basically taking relevant professionalism of today with plenty of experience from the past and creating an adapted system, to best of my understanding, but I'm sure I'll know more about it at the end of today's show. So stay tuned as we go and we start discussing. The first guest I will say hello to and introduce on the show, although I think you all know him, I don't think anybody in Joburg doesn't know him, is Rabbi Kay. So, Rabbi Kay, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Rabbi Gartner. It's beautiful to be here with you.
Okay. Just in case that there's some person on the planet who doesn't know who you are, can you introduce yourself?
Well, I work at Hirsch Lines. I have the schus to have been there for over 15 years. Started off as a Rebbe and migrated to becoming the principal of the primary school. Today serve as director of the primary school and the TELC, the Torah Early Learning Center.
Okay, we'll get to TELC shortly. And good morning, and thank you for joining us, Ronit. Ronit Hershowitz.
Morning, thank you.
Introduce yourself.
Thank you. So I've worked at Hirsch Lines for the past 17 years as a Torah teacher, and then I have recently become the academic principal. And yeah, so I was involved in the school when, I mean, I remember having meetings, weekly meetings with Mrs. Goldfein, and it was really amazing to learn from her, you know, and be part of that.
So you've been in the journey for a long time and now taking the new phase of all the new changes. And then we have a third guest with us who is a new addition into the TELC program, but we will say hi and introduce her right after the break.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and if you are by any chance joining now, we're here in a very important discussion about to start regarding the changes in the schooling system, regarding a new program, a new school that is coming with the new concepts of adapting to our today's time and what it would be to grow in Joburg 2026 and to learn what you need to do. And I've introduced already before the break Rabbi Kay, who's been the principal at Hirsch Lines for many years and the director of the primary schools and is now involved in TELC, which is the new program we're talking about today, and Ronit Hershowitz, who has been involved many years in Hirsch Lines and now is actually the academic principal. And good morning to Ruth Sachs.
Good morning, Rabbi. Thank you for having me.
So you're the new professional addition.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so let's introduce you.
All right. So I was very fortunate to be brought in just about 6 months ago. I had a meeting with Rabbi Kay, and I have joined this wonderful establishment, this beautiful school, To come in from a strategic point of view. So working on curriculum, what can we change, how can we update things, you know, what's good and what's great and what are we going to keep and what can we develop further to be the best that we possibly can.
Okay, sounds really exciting and amazing. Rabbi, what is TELC?
TELC is the Torah Early Learning Center.
Okay.
It's a new innovation in the way that we educate our children. And if I can begin with a story. It was many years ago, I had the fortune to sit in front of Rav Avram Pam Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas in America. And I went together with a chevrus of mine for a faher. And following...
He tested
us with my chevrusa. And what was amazing is that following our test, the rabbi invited us for lunch. And I went with my chevrusa, and we were sitting around the table, and Rav Pam brought up a very interesting conversation. During that conversation, he almost commissioned myself and my chevrusa to something, which at the time we listened to, but we never took up. And it's only all these years later that I feel that this is the perfect opportunity to actually take this further. And what he said to us is that we live in a very complex world, and we know that we have our Torah education, which is what we know is what is the most important element of our children's lives and who they become. But at the same time, we live in this world, and we've got to integrate whatever it is that our experience is in this world in order to ensure that our experience of Torah is to the ultimate. And what upset him is that we divide our education into two components. We have a Torah education and we have an academic program. And he felt that in truth, our children need to understand that whatever they experience of the academic world is really within Torah. And he said that he felt that there should be a very concerted effort to design our academic syllabus around Torah, and that we should set books and set works and our whole entire curriculum should be built out of Torah.
And so you're saying that you're creating a balance between, not even a balance, creating a curriculum and academic that will be realistic, and your alumni would be able to fit in our realistic world with the Torah values.
Correct. With understanding that really everything is within the Torah, and that they shouldn't see it as, well, now I have to put myself towards my academic studies, you know, and put my Torah studies on the side. In essence, it's really one.
Right, because as we know, Torah does want us to live and be functional and support families and be appropriate and respected part of the community and productive adults, exactly, and being able to financially support ourselves. But let me ask you, Ronit, you know, you've been in the system for 17 years. It's a significant amount of time. I personally would say I have friends that went to Yeshiva Gedola and already you're talking to me about their adult grandchildren. So there's been a system for a long time. Why do we need change?
I think we need change, Rabbi, because the world that we live in is so constantly changing. And I think that we need to create some sort of a resilience in our kids, some sort of a moral compass that doesn't change. And so we need to be that constant in their lives. So we can't just carry on doing things as we were before, because now with technology and with Instagram and all these things, I feel like our kids are lost. And I feel like we need to guide them in the right direction.
So basically the curriculum that was relevant to the world without social media and technology is not the same curriculum that's relevant today.
I think there have to be changes.
Okay. So, Ruth, what are the changes?
So, you know, you speak about curriculum. So what shapes a curriculum ultimately is that we need to look at young adults trying to integrate into the world and what that world looked like. and what are the challenges that they face? And then based on those challenges, we need to work back into the curriculum from right young, right when they're little, and figure out how do we equip these children for that. So, for example, you know, you hear often young adults entering the workforce, they're not resilient, they feel entitled, they're confused, they don't know how to communicate. So these are all things that can be addressed and should be addressed and will be addressed in a curriculum. But in order for that to happen, a curriculum needs to be ever-changing, ever-evolving.
So that's fascinating. What are you actually adding to the curriculum besides for the standard academics?
So that's an excellent question. So the philosophy that we've integrated into our TELC and what will, you know, filter up into the older grades is the Reggio Emilio philosophy. And why that becomes so relevant.
Before why, you're going to have to explain a bit more.
Okay.
What is the Reggio Emilio philosophy?
Okay, so for those who don't know, Reggio Emilio philosophy is exactly that. It's a philosophy for teaching and for learning. And it looks at how children learn and how we can teach to those strengths. So it was founded in a town in Italy called Reggio Emilia, post-World War II, where the society, the country found itself severely traumatized from the war. And they reflected, as one should. And they said, you know, how did we find ourselves in this situation? And how do we prevent this from ever happening again? And so what they realized is we need to go back into the curriculum and we need to have children, young adults, members of society that are able to critically think, that are able to put up their hand confidently and say, hang on a second, this isn't right. What can we do? How do we fix it? As opposed to just blindly nodding along and going along with the status quo.
Amazing.
So that's kind of how this philosophy started.
So we do need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll dive a bit more into the philosophy before we continue. But it does sound extremely important in a world that people are actively persuading us through media, through everything, to think the way they think, teaching the kids the way to have the personal thinking and to be individuals in a world of influence sounds to be almost crucial.
Crucial.
That we must have that. So that's definitely something that would be amazing to see in the curriculum. We'll talk about how it happens practically when we come back. And yeah, we'll continue this discussion with the TELC professionals right now.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we are here in the middle of a very important discussion. I'm here with Rabbi K, who was a principal at Hirschlines for many years and director of the primary schools, and is now leading the new project called TELC and the program of TELC. And here with Roni Tershowitz, who is the academic principal of the primary schools, and with Ruth Sachs, who was just telling us about the new philosophy introduced into the TELC program, which is a philosophy in one sentence of what Ruth explained properly, is the philosophy that will teach learners how to be independent thinkers and survive in a world of influences and pushing them in many directions to be able to keep their mind and focus on what's right and wrong for them. How does that practically go into the curriculum?
So it's every aspect of the curriculum, essentially. So what we do is we aim to empower children hugely within the school setting. Your opinion is incredibly valuable, your insight, your contributions. There's never a wrong answer. We do a lot of debate. We do a lot of collaborative learning. And we are hoping to have children with these skills where they can go out into the world and confidently stake their mark and make their opinions count and be active in their environments, essentially.
Okay. So, Rabbi, from a Torah perspective and as a many years educator, how do we keep a balance between a child that learns in the curriculum and we teach them to have their opinion heard clearly and very strongly with authority, with accepting rules and boundaries, a balance of you have a voice and you have a strong voice, and at the same time, you're also bound to your adults and employers, family members, or whatever it is, that to listen and to hear.
Well, in my sort of short journey in finding a philosophy that would suit most closely with, I think, our approach to the way we teach Torah and the way Torah is taught and meant to be taught, we started doing investigations. And among one of our investigations, we were at Red Hill, where we spoke to Mrs. Sue Pilkington. And I was so inspired by what I heard from her that I said, we need to find your lookalike in order to join us and help us expand on this. And I think that the philosophy for me that I gained from it is that it's built around the innate curiosity that every child has. There's an innate curiosity to learn. And so much of the way we experience Torah and the way we learn Torah and the way we teach our children is built out of that. I mean, just one example that comes to mind is around the Pesach Seder, where we put on this whole experiential experience for our children, and basically we wait for them to ask the question. And based on the question that they ask, we then feel them in the right direction. So while it's built on the child coming forth with a question and their curiosity, which is basically how we have our whole Pesach Seder, where the child asks the question, so we're able to, as facilitators, direct that innate curiosity so that through the education we're giving them, it's built out of their interest to learn, and we can then field and direct it to where we need it to go to ensure that it encompasses the value system of Torah.
Well, okay. So then while you both are speaking, I'm looking at your academic principal, Ronit, and I'm saying, shame, she has to fit in academics, she has to fit in Torah, and she has to fit in the philosophies and the new stuff. Ronit, is that realistic?
So that's a good question. And we the truth is that it's always been a difficult balance of, okay, so I've got to get through this to get through, you know, to write a South African matric, and I have to get through this because parents are expecting that my children will know this much about Pesach and the Haggadah and the Seder. But I kind of feel like when we integrate things together and we merge the curricula to be as one, it kind of gives us a bit more time. I don't know if that sounds logical, but for me, that's like...
Well, it definitely fits in with what the rabbi spoke in the beginning, that the Torah values are ingrained within the curriculum. So it's not necessarily two separate curriculums. It's really a lifestyle that's fitted with the academic curriculum.
Mm. As an example, so we really actually this year, I have to say, our teachers are really on board with change and with excitement and with exploring new ideas. So, for example, in our one class, we've got a secular teacher who's so on board with the idea that instead of doing creative writing on how was my holiday, the creative writing that she chose for the class was if I were Esther for the day, dot, dot, dot. So, you know, and then her
role
comprehensions
and acting, etc.
And no, to write a piece, a creative writing
right.
piece, as if I were Esther. And she's taken something like the weekly parsha, and she's put that into her. That's one of her comprehensions. So we are weaving the two together constantly.
Okay, and that's fitting in. So, Ruth, when you're taking the role of, for lack of a better sentence, teaching old teachers new tricks, how does that come across? Or as a system, and I'm not talking about specific teachers, I'm talking generally as teachers, educators in Joburg, are we open to this?
So, in general, teachers are exceptionally creative. We're very passionate. So with those two things, you really have a recipe for success. That being said, teachers often don't like change. We've got our set way of doing things. It's comfortable. It's easy. It's not scary. Where I come in, and I actually joked with one of the teachers the other day, I said, oh, you see me coming down the halls, you probably run a mile. And she said to me, no, but we know you're going to make us build something. So what we do is we do a lot of practical work with the teachers, a lot of, you know, workshopping. We've brought in some incredible names within education, and we workshop with them. And I must say, I've been so pleasantly surprised. The teachers are excited to do it because they see the value. They see how all of a sudden these light bulbs go on for different children in different subjects, whereas before, maths lesson was being taught and you had a child who really wasn't that way inclined, and he or she is sort of like trying to make themselves invisible in the corner of the classroom, and now you've brought in a concept and you're teaching it so differently that that child is absolutely on the edge of their seat. They're contributing, they're having fun without even realizing that they're learning. And that, for the teachers, is incredibly motivating.
Okay, so, and I guess we are building children, and so definitely want to stay in that room. I'm going to come back to you with a question about that, but I just want Rabbi to react to a sentence you said about bringing in other educators, professionals, extra. What are you referring to, Rabbi?
Well, we feel that it's important as we shift this direction. Not only are the teachers set in the ways that they've been educated, but the parents as well. And so we have felt the enormous importance of bringing in different experts from various fields to run workshops with the teachers, and as well as educate the community, you know, around the subject. So in terms of that, we've run various workshops, which have to date have been primarily around our own parent group. Okay. But the idea is to extend it beyond.
Which
that.
I'll ask later about the parents, because we'll get there. And mm-hmm. the parents is an extremely important part of the connection of raising the children. So okay, so basically, you're saying whenever you see an external good workshop or professional, you'll bring them in to collaborate and to learn from them as well into the new system.
Provided, of course, we vetted it to make sure that it upholds Torah values.
And obviously with the Talmud values system,
yes,
etc.
Yes,
okay. So, Ruth, I'm coming back to you with a question. We know that when a child's born, they develop tremendously by curiosity and by their ability to try and try and try without failure. I often say in this show that if we would have to learn how to walk as adults, we would fall 3 times and that would be the end of it, right? They fall and try again and try again and try again. And as we go with time, they lose that ability. We lose the ability to not give up and to try again and again. We lose the ability to be curious and interested and gather as much information that we can. And my question to you is, what are you doing in the curriculum that you're putting together and the extra stuff to delay that process, to allow the children a longer time of creativity, a longer time of not giving up, or maybe a lifetime of always trying, which we always hope for? Are there actual measures that can help us with that?
So this is something that I give a great deal of thought to, because exactly as you said, if we had adults walking around with the same enthusiasm and love for life and lack of inhibition as children had, we'd live in a very different world. And what we do, you know, the elements of the curriculum that we really fall back on is that you trust the child, you trust the teacher, and you trust the process. So it's a very child-led process. And what I mean by that is, again, going back to that word, that we empower our children. What would you like to learn about today? What interests you? You know, a child comes in and they've seen something or they've heard something and they're chatting to a friend about it. Okay, there's interest in this. Right, that's great. Let's run with that. So it's not to say it's a different curriculum every day and we don't have things to cover. But within that framework, we know the outcomes that we need to achieve as teachers. And so we'll plug that into the general discussion. And by doing that, it's personal to the children. It's personal to them. They're excited about it. They feel like they're being heard and that they are valued within the classroom. Children are, like you said, you know, they're innately enthusiastic. They lack inhibition, which is
right.
Incredible. It's an incredible thing, and we try and harness that as long as we can.
So by keeping their voice and letting them be part of the leading of the academic process and being engaged, you keep their interest much longer, exactly. And you keep them out of the box for longer.
Exactly.
Simply. Yes, right.
I also think that by making it relevant, whatever you're teaching relevant, it's so important. So an example that comes to mind is a teacher who read a book to the class about a tea party. And then after that, they discussed, what do you need for a tea party? Who would come to a tea party? And then they baked together in the kitchen using measurements to learn how to make tea and how to make biscuits. So it was, and so that was your maths. That was a hands-on experience. And that is something that's so relevant to them that it makes it exciting, and especially exciting for the teacher.
Right.
The teachers are finding, like, I've got kids who are saying, the teacher's telling me both she and the children are enjoying learning Afrikaans.
Enjoying learning Afrikaans.
I mean, that's pretty much unheard of.
And the reason for that is that we know that children learn differently. So when you think out the box and you take your lessons out the box, you teach in a different way. And you've got many individuals in your class that learn differently. So by making that tea and physically measuring out the ingredients for the biscuits, they're doing that maths. They're not sitting at a table with a worksheet. And so, again, it makes it meaningful for the children. It makes it exciting for the children. And then what we do is a lot of documentation and a lot of sort of speaking out what we've learned. So, again, you've got a child who maybe isn't great at the writing and the spelling, but will stand up in front of the class and say, okay, so this was the activity for today, and this is what we did. And
that's actually exceptional. You're saying that you're giving the verbal child the opportunity.
Correct.
That their writing documentation is not as up to speed, the opportunity to shine and to share and
absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely.
So there really is that ability for every child to share. I feel like what we're talking about is also, obviously, the telk is for the nursery and the younger kids, maybe in primary. How do we keep that spark in the older grades of primary?
Who wants to answer that? Is that for me?
Go for it.
Well, Maura Ronette is going to have children coming through her grades that are thinking differently. So we've primed them, for lack of a better word, at the telk. We've empowered them. They are active participants. They are constructive theorists. And she's got these children who are going to come up into her grades, and her teachers need to be ready. And so I do a lot of work across the two campuses, working with the teachers. And, yeah, it's...
And preparing the teachers.
Preparing the teachers.
For the new students that are going to come in that regard. So time-wise, we just have to move on to other topics as well, even though I could stay very long here. Rabbi, I want to ask you a question. One of the big changes in schools is we came from a world 30, 40, 50 years ago where we were telling kids, you go to school to learn, you're not there to make friends and socialize. And now we're in a reality that with social media and everything, the only real place to make real friends and non-screen friends, I'd say, or whatever we would call them, is in school. Pretty much kids have school and shul. Other than that, there's not that much one-on-one unless it's a play date or something. What are we doing in creating the schools as a healthy social emotional space for them to create real meaningful connections and develop that skill of nonverbal communication, body language, etc., which they learn through social? And we have to do it in schools.
So I think that one of the things that I picked up while learning from Mrs. Sachs about the system is that normally we come in as the more than the facilitators, but we're there as teachers just giving all the information. Now, the children know that we are obviously the source of their information, but the idea is to bring their own individuality out of that.
Right.
And what
especially
struck me
in a world that information has lost value.
Correct.
Right.
And I think that what struck me is when we went into our first classroom to see how, in this particular case, was with Mrs. Pilkington, she pointed out that when they start the year, the walls are blank. You know, we're used to a system where we come in with where, you know, the teacher basically has put what she wants to put across to the children. She's colored the walls in the colors that she likes. She's put up the pictures that she wants there. She's almost dictated the process. And here, the idea is that, no, we're harnessing on the individuality of the child and the ability to bring out from themselves through using their curiosity to develop the world around them. Now, in the process of doing that, in the process of expressing their own individuality, those around them are picking up the distant personalities around them and learning to appreciate that everybody has something to bring to the table. So I think that that process encourages that interaction between children where each child can pick up, well, this is my strength, this is my ability that I can bring to the table, and that encourages that interaction with the children.
So actually going into a point where the kids can see that by social interactions and knowledge interactions with other kids, they can help each other grow and not compete against each other necessarily, but really create a better ability for them. Maronita, I'm going to come back to you after the break because I do want to hear from the social aspect as well as the curriculum principle and academic principle. We just need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue there.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Milan from Sundrimed, your friendly local medical supply company. Visit us for the best prices and expert advice on a wide range of adult pull-ups and wipes. Plus, we have Burn Shield, tissues, blue gloves, two-ply toilet paper, wound care, bandages, plasters, face masks, and everything first aid. See you at Sundrimed, bottom floor, Genesis Shopping Center.
Get down to the Bluebird Shopping Center now. Let us be a part of your journey with your little one and give them all they need with great savings on big brands. Experience a wide range of baby products for every precious moment, from bath time to bedtime and meal times to play times. Baby City has your needs covered. Get to Baby City Athol at the Bluebird Shopping Center for everything you need from South Africa's leading baby hyper. Baby City, we know you care.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
1.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back and we are in the middle of a fascinating discussion. I'm here with Rabbi K and Ruth Sachs and Roni Tershowitz, who are the leaders of the TELC out of the Hirschlines schools and in the TELC, which is the Torah Early Center Development. I think I said it correctly, I hope. And right before the break, I asked regarding the extremely important role that schools have today in social, emotional, and proper connections and communications. And I want to hear from you, Ronita, as the academic principal, what are you doing to allow that development for children?
Okay, so one of the innovations that we've had this year is called Start Smart Time, where the first 15 minutes of every day, the children get to choose an aspect that they would like to begin their day with. So it might be soccer on the field, or it's hearing parasha stories with a mora, or it's playing a game, or, you know, so something that really builds themselves so that they begin their day in a very positive way. So that's the first thing.
That's so interesting because that's a complete shift from the structure. And if we don't do exact structure for the beginning of the day, kids will lose it. And you're saying, no, we're seeing the opposite. They can choose what they want to start with, and it opens their minds and brains and their own.
And it regulates them.
That's amazing.
So they start off very well regulated. And then also we've got a program where the high school girls and the primary school girls play sport together. And that's been absolutely incredible for both sides. And you can actually see the Derech Eretz that you teach in the classroom that, you know, is one of our main focuses. We have a Derech Eretz lesson in the curriculum, just like a maths lesson. So that yes, we teach it by the wayside as well, but that is like one of our mandates. And so
it's a message of importance, of how important it really is.
Absolutely. And you can see through them playing together how good the older girls are with the younger girls. And it's just amazing to see those midders actually coming out practically.
That's amazing. And I think I'm going to emphasize on that because one of the biggest challenges that we had in the school system traditionally is that, unlike real life, there's been social connections only with kids with their age group and peers, because in real life, I have friends that are 3 years, 5 years, 10 years older than me or younger than me. At my age, that's what happens. But then as kids, when, you know, a child who can have a friend who's 2 years younger or 3 years older or whatever, that gives so much to the relationship that because of the strict system of the schools that, you know, kids need to learn by age, which is a whole different debate, which we'll get there one day. But the fact that we all kids have to be at a certain age group, then we lose so much of the real life socializing. So you're saying that you actually have that space for real life socializing with crossing between ages.
Yeah, multi-grade.
Okay, amazing. So that's huge. Are there any other specific changes besides the ones you've mentioned that you have in your day-to-day curriculum?
So we've also just revamped our extramural curriculum, and we've brought in something called Basics with Boba, where we actually bring in a Boba from the community and she does a craft or she teaches them a skill in the afternoons after school. And that, I think it does more for the Boba than it does for the kids, but the relationship between the two is really beautiful.
It's beautiful for everybody, yeah.
Yeah. And then our PT curriculum has also been revamped. We don't do the same thing every week. We work on different skills that the children need to have, and we make exercising fun and exciting. And so that's something else that we've really worked on. And then we also have... we have very much an integrated approach. We have something called integrated learning where different grades work together once a week or once every 2 weeks on a task, which is also great. And then we've made time in our schedule for our Torah teacher and our academic teacher to meet and say, what are you teaching this week? Oh, I'm teaching about the days of creation. Great. In their secular classes, I can bring in the moon and how the moon works and planets. And so there's really that constant interweaving of the curriculum.
Okay. Rabbi, I feel like the one missing link from what Ronit just said is the parents. How are they engaged and involved with – I think it's amazing that you're bringing the Torah teacher and the academic teacher to, you know, alongside and work together and have that holistic approach. The parents we know today are a very important part of raising children, and they should be integrated. Are they also brought in to the values and the approaches and the professional courses or whatever it is that you're doing to bring everybody together on the same page?
Right. So there are two processes happening actually. The one is that we're hoping that the parents see the change in what we're doing, in the way we're educating, that when they're coming home and noticing, well, I'm not quite sure, is this part of your Torah class or is this your academic class? They're seeing something different happening. And the other is reaching out to the parents to actually provide them with education around this, putting together workshops, encouraging them to attend so that we're able to put across this philosophy.
Okay, so that is... you know, the one downside that potentially, you know, Hirschlines was known to have is that we were very blessed to be able to be very close to our schools. And the kids don't need to sit in the car for 30 minutes or 20 minutes with all the sensory challenges, etc. Is there a discussion about changing locations, campus? I know I'm maybe jumping the gun here a bit, but... your campus is a bit far. Are we going to see you guys closer?
Right. Well, there is a very concerted effort for us to be moving. And in fact, we're able to say that the Telk has moved. The Telk is now in the Glen Hazel Arena.
Oh, okay.
We're on Johannesburg Road, where we've moved into a beautiful space at the moment. We are hoping at some stage to move it even closer into the hood. But that is the start of our process. So we definitely appreciate that.
So the Telk is already by Johannesburg.
Correct.
Road, we're
already in the area. Yes.
Okay. We're walking distance from Glen Hazel.
Definitely. Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, so that's a whole new different aspect. So definitely would make it easier to come and connect from that regard. When we look at all these changes, let's talk about the other side. Are you finding... parents may be nervous of how it's going to be with a whole new, more up to date, but at the same time so different from when they were children and when their parents and grandparents and great grandparents were children. Is there any concern, or are the community very happy with all these changes?
So from what I can gather, everybody's very happy with the changes. At the beginning of this year, we made all of our documentation, our planning, our outcomes, our philosophy available to our parents. We do greatly believe in a collaboration between children, child, teacher, and home. So we've made it very available for them. Our parents are amazing. They've supported us. You know, they've asked for various things over the years, and you know, Baruch Hashem, we've been able to deliver on those things that they've asked for. So there's a huge element of trust, and they are very involved, and we are a better school for it.
Okay. I actually also think that over the last while, parents have been asking for change.
Yeah.
Not only that they're letting us change, they're saying to us, we need to shake things up a little. And so that's happened, and I think that parents are happy with the changes.
And thank you to our parents. We're very blessed to have parents who have stuck with us in good times and in bad, and it's a testament to the community that we're a part of. We're very blessed.
Yeah, and the resilience of the school. So seeing really that balance between the experience and years of working in the field and yet bringing in all these new updates, I guess, to the curriculum and to the way we see schooling today, it actually sounds like a very special and healthy balance. We do need to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to start ending towards the end of the hour. I know there's so much more to talk about, but time is time. It is what it is. Short break. We will be right back.
Torah isn't education. It's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we are really ending off a great hour. I'm here with Rabbi K and with Ruth Sachs and Ronit Hershowitz, who are the leaders of the Telk and the heads of the Hirschlines Primary Schools, the Telk program, etc. And it's been a fascinating discussion. If you missed it, I highly recommend you go to our podcasts and listen, because if you're a parent or a grandparent to a young child, you want to hear this. It's extremely important. We're going to end off the show with the same question that we do always, and I'm going to ask you as professionals, as leaders in today's educational community, on a personal level, what do you wish and hope that we would know, or we would learn, or we would do different for a better future for our kids, for the next generations, for our society, for our country, for our community? What is it that is the secret that we're missing? Rabbi, we'll start with you. Rabbi Kay.
So I think nothing that's really new, but we understand that we probably feature as one of those important elements within the Eibishter's world. And because we have the schus every day to be faced with the daunting task of embracing a chelik melukai mimal, that and recognizing that each child is part of Hashem and part of His plan, and that each child is the center of that universe. And we need to keep that constantly on our minds, that we have to love each child, realizing that they are the future, that they are the center of this world, and that they each have an important task to fulfill in this world.
Amazing. And if we could just feel that and realize that, we'll definitely approach everything differently.
Correct.
Thank you, Rabbi. Ruth.
Rabbi, for me, it's a personal and professional journey that's very close to my heart. I'm very passionate about education, and I hope to see Jewish schools within South Africa and globally being really the absolute leaders in education, the forefront in brilliance, and that at the moment we have incredible schools in South Africa, and we very, very fortunate. But it is my hope and my wish and my mission that we're not just brilliant, we are the best, the absolute best, and that our children, the young adults, the individuals that come through our doors are, you know, dynamic and just make our world really, really a better place.
Amazing. And it's impressive to see that you're actively pursuing your dream and together with a team making that happen. Ronit.
So for me, I think that our children spend so much of their waking hours at school. And it's important that we give them the tools to be beautiful, healthy, successful people in the world with positive self-esteems, and that they can really feel like they can go ahead and conquer.
Amazing. And please God, they will. I want to thank you all for being here today. Thank you, Rabbi Kay, for being the director and the leader in this regard. Thank you, Ruth Sachs, for being the new vibe and making things happen. And thank you, Ronit Hershovitz, for managing and bring the principal and bring the academics in for the children, but specifically for coming here and giving us the time today. I have to say, on a personal level, it means the world to me when I can see and again, I'll say what I said, teaching old teachers new tricks, the ability to take an established system and school for years with all their experience and all their successes and say, okay, we're going to readapt. We're going to be able to bring in new stuff. We're going to be able to see what else is there so we can fulfill our mission in serving Hashem and teaching the next generation. It's extremely inspiring. So thank you so much for doing it. Thank you for being here and sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Senna, for putting this interview in place. And thank you for our listeners who are with us week after week, every Monday, with a new topic, a new discussion. We will be back next Monday. In the meantime, stay safe, enjoy the rest of the shows on the radio, and continue your growth and journey.